Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
We're having our conversation with Jason Johnson. If Joe Biden got on a plane, got in a line this summer or fall in a primary for a primary election and stood in a line with voters, waiting to vote in one of those wonderfully red states that just changed all the laws.
Yeah.
It all of a sudden changes the conversation.
Completely changes.
So for me, why the hell don't Democrats think like that? Because that would have been my look. I ask Democrats all the time. I look at them and say, do you have any idea how I beat you in 2010? Do you have any idea? Just like, put your hand up if you got a clue.
They can run against the black guy. They can run against the black guy. I mean, like, but here's the thing. This is a mistake. And this again, goes to some of the data that came out. The concern that I have, that I've always had, which is why I'm not a Democrat, right? Like, people can get mad at me and scream, I'm not a Democrat. I care about the health and benefit of this country because this is where all my stuff is, right? But I'm not a Democrat.
When I put all my stuff someplace else, guess what?
Right. It's like, don't blow up the earth. That's where my stuff is, right?
Right.
But what I say, because I think the Republican Party has basically become a fascist front at this particular, in treasonous insurrectionists, what I say all the time is that Democrats are often pursuing the wrong kinds of voters, and they do not understand what the core motivations of people are. So again, people are driven by notions of convenience. People are driven by notions of fairness if the fairness affects them, right? Abstractly, they don't give a crap, but they can certainly care about fairness if it has a direct impact on them. I don't think Democrats always get that. And Democrats have always spent way too much time chasing after a working class, whatever, white demographic that collectively hasn't voted for them in the majority since the early 1980s. And whether that's Joe Biden doing it from a centrist perspective or Bernie Sanders doing it from a progressive perspective, it doesn't work. Now, the solution is not simply get more minorities to vote, right? Because you're facing voter suppression. And because, as we saw with Trump, Trump's sort of hyper-masculine racism and sexism can be very appealing to certain groups of minorities in this country, at least enough for him to remain competitive. And we also, in the grander scheme of things, and you know, this is a bit abstract, but I think it's important to understand, everybody who lazily sat on their rumps 15, 20 years ago was like, yeah, we're going to have this big demographic boom and Latinos are going to vote for Democrats and then it's all over. No, it doesn't work that way. Obviously, you don't know anything about Latino politics or culture or anything else like that. Not to mention the fact that, look, what we could be seeing right now in this country is essentially what happened in the 40s and 50s, which is when, for convenience sake and for a lot of other political reasons, you know, the Irish and the Italians and the Scottish suddenly became white. And that left them in
power. That's true.
You know, that's true. They were all sorts of other little things.
They were no longer ethnic.
Yeah. they certainly weren't ethnic no more after World War II. Yeah.
Right.
They all became white. And we could see that with Latinos. We could see Latinos being sort of enveloped into whiteness, philosophical, ideological whiteness in America, at least from the standpoint of negative partisanship. Okay. I mean, like anybody who spends any time in Texas, it's not strange to run into Latin and Latinx voters in Texas who are like, well, yeah, my people got here, but blah, blah, blah about these people trying to sneak over the border.
Right.
Even if you're just one generation.
There seems to be a higher self-identification with whiteness among certain Latino groups than I think people in the larger population really appreciate.
Right. What were we just talking about? Bill Maher and his other shenanigans. But what were we just talking about less than a week and a half ago with Lin-Manuel Miranda? Folks try and pretend that like Latinos are what they're not.
They're not.
Whether you call them Latinos or Latinx, and again, I've heard people make the argument, so I don't know which term is always the best to use. I'm not an expert in that particular area, but I mean, like, there are divisions within that community that matter. And so I say this to say, the Democrats have never been particularly effective at messaging And what they often fail to understand is what really motivates people as opposed to what should motivate people.
And that really, for me, is sort of the core thing at this point. When you're looking at the challenges that we face on a number of fronts, we just talked about one today, and that's the court rulings that are coming down on some of these really, really important issues. Mm-hmm. But then you also look economically, you look politically, you look socially, societally, you look at how culturally the country is starting to change. And even within that change, to your point about what you see evolving within the Hispanic community, the Latin community, mm-hmm. is this sort of divergence amongst, and it's probably much more historical with them,
yeah,
because folks from Spain are not the same as the folks from Mexico, not the same as the folks from Puerto Rico, right, or Central America, not just in terms of culture, but in terms of skin,
yeah,
and all of that. Whereas for Black folks, Black was Black. It yep. ain't get all mixed up till white folks showed up, right?
Nope.
And then so it's interesting how within the Hispanic community, you have that sort of Heisman move by certain groups within the community saying, mm-hmm. oh, no, I'm this, there's right. something else. Whereas yeah. light-skinned Black folks and dark-skinned Black folks, there was never that sort of, oh, no. I mean, people may try to pass as white
yeah.
back in the day, but in large measure, the community kind of shut it down. I mean, it just kind of like, no, we're just not going to do that. Or am I off on that assessment?
I think you're off. Okay. I think you're off. But I think you're off only from this perspective. There were internal divisions. I mean, it was school days, good and bad hair.
But that's my point. Good, bad hair, right.
Yeah. But at the same time, the larger hostility of white supremacy in America said, I don't care because you're all still blank, right?
Yeah, that was like, my point. That's effectively, I mean, it was sort of shut down. That distinction, while it was there, and school days and other shows kind of point that up. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, there still may be some elements of it. But it's, you don't have a lot of light-skinned Black people running around town talking about, well, I'm not with them,
no.
and they're living over there in the hood, and that's not me. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least not publicly.
Well,
I guess
here's
what I'm saying:
access to whiteness, philosophical and ideological whiteness, is not necessarily driven by phenotype anymore. Right. If you want to be allied with conservative white supremacist forces in this country, and again, just because you're white doesn't automatically mean you're a conservative or any of those things. I'm making that distinction clear. But if we were just going to play the skin color game, goodness gracious, rest in peace Herman Cain or Tim Scott. I mean, right. like clearly, right. there's nothing wrong with being a darker skinned African. There's some interesting philosophical things that go with this that I wrote about once that I'm going to be very careful about how I discuss this.
Right.
But what I will say.
I know. Go ahead.
Yeah. But what I will say is that, skin color, the shade of Blackness that you are, is not necessarily your pathway into higher echelons of white support and power in this country
right.
today.
Right.
Conservative Black people come in all colors. Liberal Black people come in all colors. And I would argue that, again, if you look at everything from Tim Scott to Daniel Cameron if we were to speak anecdotally, the last several super prominent African-American Republicans, who were, close to the brown bag test, you would have to go back to like Ward Connerly. Everybody else right. look like me. I mean,
right, right. And for folks who are trying to figure out what the hell any of this has to do with voting, it does, because it makes the point that for Black and brown people, all of those elements that we were talking of, Jason and I were just talking about, as tortured as we were talking about it, trying to step on eggshells here.
Yes.
Carefully. Still drives home the point that you have right now systemic efforts that whether you are a light-skinned Black person or a white Hispanic person, you still gonna get screwed at the ballot box.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what the core of these efforts have to focus on is the authors of these bills, these laws, don't give a damn that, you know, some Hispanic people may say, well, I got here this way, but those folks at the border. Nah, baby, you in the state of Texas.
Right.
Your last name is Hernandez or Miguel, fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. And you fall into the same little bucket as that brother living down around the corner from you who's from Mexico, or that other brother living down around the corner from you who's from Watts.
Right.
So it's all the same. And I think that that's really the critical piece, how us ethnics, and I love the way you, I love the way you started this part of the conversation off, because you said, you know, the Irish, the Italians, and the Germans decided to become white.
Yep.
Because they could.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not the story for the rest of us.
Nope.
No matter how fair skinned you are.
And never will be.
And never will be.
And I think as these kinds of arguments are being made, and these kinds of arguments are being made again by the Democratic Party versus the Republican Party. And here's the thing. It's not that I think the Republican Party is smarter. I don't even know that I think the Republican Party is better at messaging. I think the Republican Party is better at is better at cohesive long-term strategy. Because if it goes by messaging, look, they failed for years. They keep losing elections over and over again because the majority of the country doesn't like what they're selling. They have been winning because they have set because through Mitch McConnell and other smart strategies.
They changed the rule of engagement with the system. They changed the system. Right.
Yeah. They just keep changing the rules.
They are the quintessential Captain Kirk in the Kobayashi Maru.
Exactly. I'm going to switch
to change the conditions of the test.
There you go. And you know, and the Republican and the Democrats hang around like Spock saying, but I invented this test. Right. I can't believe you broke it. Well, dude. You know, like, what do you think I was going to do? Lose? So, yeah.
I love that. Spock is like, yes, but I wrote the, that's not how I wrote it. Well, so?
Right.
So? Man. That's how I'm going to do it.
That's how I'm going to do it. You know, and that's, again, therein is the inherent failure. You got to recognize that, you know, look, I mean, most people, like I said, most people don't necessarily want what this modern version of the GOP is offering,
right?
You know, but also we're in this place of, and I really think this has to be understood also when it comes to these voting rights rules, is that prior to really 2012, right? And it's funny, I was just, Michael, I was just looking at this article. I was texting with a group of people a couple of days ago, and I found that old article by those former Clinton and whatever people, that were saying that, you know, Obama should drop out and let Hillary run in 2012.
Yes.
You remember that kerfuffle for like four or five days? That
very well.
And it was just so ridiculous.
I wrote a couple of those op-eds on behalf of Democrats. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it was such an insane idea. But the reason I mention is because maybe 8-10 years ago, you could play this game of elections were about getting out your base. That is no longer what elections are about.
Yes, no, they're not.
People are, and it's not polarization. I think polarization is also, it's an older term. It's a naive and non-nuanced term. I really do think, like people like Rachel Bycoffer and other people talking about, it's negative partisanship. People are now at a point, nobody doesn't know how they feel about this stuff anymore.
Right.
There are no such thing as swing voters and persuadable voters, and I've been fighting against that for years. It is simply about motivating people. Because they already know how they feel. And so Democrats have to, Republicans have recognized, we tap out really at about 43 to 44%. That's really where we tap out.
Well, and Trump proved that. He showed it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So since you can't win because we're not in a parliament, we literally just have to change the rules. We can't just tilt the board. We got to literally have the foosball table tilt to the side in our favor. And that's the only way
we can. And the beauty of that, the advantage for us is that the other side thinks the table is still level.
Yes. Or they think if they just show enough effort, they can keep kicking the ball up the hill. And it's like, no, it's actually not how this works anymore. So all of that, to go back to the Second Amendment, I will also say this, Michael, and this is encouraging to me in a way. Again, on the ground, Democrat organizers and activists have anticipated this. This has already been on their mind since last year. I don't think the administration gets it, because I don't think Joe Biden and I don't think Joe Manchin and I don't think Vice President Harris realize how serious this is. They may figure it out eventually, and they have until the end of the year. Like I said, I think some of this, I think part of the For the People Act is going to get passed. I don't think the whole thing, pieces are going to get passed before the end of the year. But they're not ringing the alarm bells on this. Every other word out of every Democrat's mouth should be voting rights and insurrection. I don't give a crap about infrastructure. It's ridiculous.
Thanks for listening to this quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Now, we'll be back with a full show soon. But in the meantime, you can go to Apple Podcasts, review us, give us 5 stars. Yes, we like the 5-star rating. Or you can listen on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcast on. Catch you later, folks.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I created the Sportsmanship Foundation to promote and educate parents and athletes about the role of good sportsmanship in our development. Learn more at winnersunlimited.com. That's winnersunlimited.com.
Everyone loses golf balls, even the pros. When you need golf balls, go to lostgolfballs.com, the world's largest inventory of used golf balls. All the top brands in stock, 50% off retail. lostgolfballs.com.